Hey, how you doing? How you feeling today?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
You doing well? You doing okay? How are you? You doing good?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, oddly enough.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. That's true. As best as I know it, I don't know. That's what they say. It's on my license and on all my documents. Accordingly, some of them spelled differently than others, but the basic idea is there. How are you, by the way? I get rude every once in a while. I do an entire show, talk for 45 minutes to an hour, maybe less, depending on my many moods, but I never take the time to talk to you. So at the beginning of the show today, I'm going to do that. It's not going to last very long because this never seems to work. Every once in a while, I try to do an interactive type of program where you feel that you're involved. You see, you can't call me and talk to me on the air because this is an internet radio podcast thing. So you listen at any time. That means you can't call at any time. I do other things besides this. Sometimes I go to the bathroom, I shower. I eat sometimes, so it's not just this. So I do like to remain interactive, so I sometimes do this. Never works. It never works, but maybe this time it will. I'm going to have conversation with you, even though I cannot hear you. Let's see how this happens today. Now, you have to respond as if you're really in a conversation. We're not really in a conversation, obviously. So you need to answer quickly and just as if you were having a conversation with me in a room and we were talking face to face, okay? And let's assume our breath was both good, we didn't have garlic, that kind of thing, and we're having a conversation. Here we go. Hi, how are you today? Oh, good, 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 good. So did you have a nice day yesterday? Yeah, me too. So tell me something that happened yesterday, like when you went into a store, some interaction that you had with the clerk or the cashier, tell me something that happened yesterday, something that was significant to you. Well, come on, you can think of something. Yeah, okay. Really? Seriously? No, tell me more. Come on. This is interesting. Go on. Are you serious? You cannot be serious right now. No. Oh, my God. That's crazy. You're kidding me right now, huh? You're not that. Wow. Good. Well, good for you. Good for you. Wow, good. So what are you going to do today? Yeah. No. Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you, sis. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you, sis. I was, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. No, you are right. You are right. No, nothing like that. Okay, that was interesting. Did you have a good time? Did you feel like you were interacting with me? No? I'll tell you, I got a gift for a person about, I think it was about 10 years ago almost, maybe six, maybe seven, maybe it was 9 years ago, I think it was eight, 4 years ago, no, it was yesterday, no, I think it was about 8 years ago, and I'm watching TV, and there was a commercial for something called the Star Registry. Do you remember this? They don't do it anymore because I think people across the world started realizing this is stupid. But when it was presented as a television commercial for people to buy this thing, everybody was like, ooh, this is a great gift idea. This reminds me, when I was growing up, there was a product called the Pet Rock. Are a lot of you old enough to remember this? Some genius guy, this is all marketing, man. Some genius guy or woman, I don't, could have been a woman, but I don't think so. Some genius guy who was obviously an asshole. You had to have that kind of personality to do this. And he went out to his backyard and he's talking to his friend Bob. And he's saying to Bob, you know, I got to make some money somehow. And Bob says to Tim, hey, you're a great salesperson. You should just sell something. You're really good at sales. And Tim says, I'm really not that good. Bob says, oh, really? You are. You could probably sell somebody a rock from your backyard and make a fortune. And Tim stopped in his tracks. He was in tracks. And he stopped and he said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Bob. I think you've got an idea here. I'm going to just sell the rocks in my backyard. And Bob says, well, that's I was only kidding. But even if you could, what idiot would buy your rocks? I mean, how can you get your rocks off like that? And Tim said, that's very funny. A play on words, right? Tim said, well, you know, it's not the rock itself. It's the marketing of the rock. And Bob says, well, you're absolutely right. It's the way you market something. It's not the product itself. It's how you present it. Tim said, yeah. Tim said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to collect a lot of rocks from my backyard. And then I'm going to put them in a box. Bob says, well, that's your marketing idea, to put rocks in a box? He says, yes. And on the box, I'm going to print the words, Pet Rock. And his friend Bob says, Pet Rock? I've heard of Kid Rock, but what is a Pet Rock? He says, it's you open up the box, and it's your own personal rock. Bob says, you're crazy. You have just crossed the line of total insanity. Do you think that people... I was only kidding, Bob says. Do you think that people are going to open up a box, see one of your rocks inside that you picked up from the backyard, and now it's their pet? And Tim says, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now I'm going to wash the rock off and polish it, make it pretty, but it's going to be a rock from my backyard. It's not going to be shiny or some kind of expensive mineral. It's going to be a freaking rock from my backyard, just like this one, Bob. Bob says, I wouldn't buy this rock. Says, you would if I put it in a box and I put the name on the box. It said Pet Rock and it's your own personal rock. Bob says, well, wait a minute. Maybe someone would think that rock is lucky because it's their own rock. You get the idea, says Tim. And Tim starts collecting rocks from his backyard and he finds some boxes, some jewelry boxes. And he starts putting one rock in each jewelry box. And now he's got an overhead of the box that he's putting the rock in, but that's it. Because the rocks are free everywhere. And this was before there was online. This is before there was an international internet highway. I don't know how he marketed these things. I don't know. But he did. And people bought them. And they paid money for it. And this guy became a zillionaire, selling rocks from his backyard in a box with a printed word on the top of the box that said Pet Rock. There was a little more to it, but not much. People bought this because people are stupid. People are stupid. Now, not you, and certainly not me, but everybody else is stupid. Now, of course, there are no more Pet Rocks that I know of. But this guy doesn't care anymore. He's made his money. So somewhere later on in life, like 8 years ago, some person, male or female, or maybe it was a couple, they said to themselves, I like this idea. I like this idea. Let's sell something that we don't have to buy. All we have to do is wrap it and market it. And they said, what can we do? They already did the rock thing. That's done. I guess we could sell blades of grass from mowing our lawn every week. But people aren't that stupid, are they? And then they realized they were looking up and at the heavens for an answer. And there was the answer in front of them. Billions and zillions and trillions of stars in the sky. They don't belong to you. They don't belong to me. They're just up there in the cosmic universe, which we call the sky, by the way. And some incredibly intelligent person says, I will sell those stars to people. Just like one could have their own rock from my backyard. Now they can actually have a star named after them. And we'll call it the Star Registry. At some point, didn't somebody say to this person, you know, you can't do that. But I guess you could, because that's what he did, or she. And they called it the Star Registry. And I fell for it, and I bought it. And at the time, it was quite exhilarating. Now, I feel like some type of a jerk. Yes, even I can befall to this massive stupidity. But now there was the internet. The marketing was even simpler. And there were the television commercials about it. So they actually spent money to make money. It's the marketing, it's not the product. And the idea was that I tell these people my friend's name or what they want to call the new star that is going to become theirs. And then in the mail, about a week later, you get a certificate, which is so official because it came off of a printing machine somewhere in India or something, or Pakistani. Yes, somebody actually printed a certificate that names a particular star in the cosmic universe, names it after my friend. The star's name now is Cynthia. Cynthia 23 is what I think it was called. I'm making the name up because I don't want to reveal who I really gave it to, because I'm so stupid. So a certificate comes in the mail, and it says, congratulations, this star in the northeast quadrant of the cosmic universe is now Cynthia 23. It is your star. It is named after you. Now, this certificate was a bunch of crap. And I think the legal way they went around it was that you don't own this star. You don't own the sun. You can't own the sun. You can't do it. But you can have it named after you. Is it legal? No, they didn't say it was legal. They just said, I'm going to give you a certificate that names the star after you. And I give it to Cynthia, let's say, and she's very proud. She says, oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's a star in the universe, in the cosmic cosmetology, that is named after I have a star. And she took this thing and took the certificate and put it on the wall, framed it, put it on the wall, and now felt like she was a part of the cosmic universe. Psychologically, this was a very significant gift. In the realm of normality, this was incredibly stupid of me. Do you remember this thing, the Star Registry? So I'm watching TV, and I see a commercial for something very similar to this. And this is what I see. And you may say, Ron, this is real. And I'll respond by saying, please don't say that to me. There's a commercial for a Bethlehem stone. It's a little necklace. It's a cross. And in the middle of the cross is a stone. Now, here's some money has been spent to take a little stone, a little chip of a stone, and put it into the center of a cross as a necklace. The necklace must cost something, probably 25 cents, I don't know. And then you got to put it in a box, I guess, or something. But it wasn't the necklace itself, it was the fact that it's a cross, because now we're preying on religious people who tend to be somewhat, you know, believe in stuff. I wouldn't say gullible is the word, but open to possibilities. Let's call it that. And in the middle of the cross, there is a little stone. I don't even think it's a stone. I think it's a chip of a stone. But it's special because this stone came from where the cradle of civilization apparently was and the birth of Jesus Christ, Bethlehem. That town or city is in a lot of songs, so it must be real. And there is a real Bethlehem. What happened there, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of history. Religiously, that's your deal. Perhaps. But it's the significance that this stone actually came from Bethlehem, from the area where Jesus was born. So you wear this around your neck. Now it's got not only religious significance, which hits a lot of audience members, but it's got like a personal attachment to the birthplace of your Savior. What a cool marketing idea. How far away is this little chip of a stone from Bethlehem? How far away is this from the pet rock? Answer me that. Here you're not only getting, you're not getting a full rock like the pet rock was, you're getting a little chip of a stone inset into a little cheap piece of jewelry. But it's not the jewelry, it's the significance of that stone in the center of the cross. Now, I don't know how well this product is doing. I assume extremely well. But it harkened me back to the days of the pet rock. And it harkened me back to the days of the Star Registry. Now, I don't know if this little chip of a stone came from the city of Bethlehem, from the immediate area or place where Jesus was born. In the commercial, they say, there aren't a lot of these things, you know. Jesus was born in a particular place, and we only have a certain number of little chips of stones. You know, otherwise, it didn't come from there. Okay. All right. If I'm to believe you, then I guess you're limited in quantity. I'm having a feeling it's some guy from Des Moines going into his backyard with a guy named Tim and a guy named Bob. picking up stones. But I could be wrong.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Welcome back to the program. I don't know, you know, whatever. That's what I say. Oh, I said whatever. Again, my favorite word of all time. It just answers every question. It's insulting, which I love. It's short and brief, which I love. And it has a tude to it. It has an attitude. We know, by the way, we don't say attitude anymore. We just say tude. I have no time to say the entire word. It's like emojis. What the hell is this thing, emoji? What the hell is an emoji? How did we end up as grown people sending each other various forms of smiley faces? What the hell's going on here? An emoji? I've got the President of the United States, the new one, the orange-faced one with the funny wig, tweeting anger and revenge. This is the President. The hell's going on here? What the hell's going on? Should we replace the flag? The stripes and stars, or the stars and stripes, depending on if you're dyslexic or not. Should we replace it with a gigantic emoji where the expression on the face is one of confusion and concern? What's going on? What happened? Where did we go crazy? I know where. I think we always were. It took somebody to bring the crazy out of us and make it public. For years and decades and generations, we walked this planet with anger, but no way to express it. We had to be good and respectful and nice. And then, for some reason, this pent-up anger released into the internet of tweets. And now people malign each other. They throw them under the bus, which is a horrible, horrible illustration, by the way. You threw me under the bus. Okay, that's a very extreme example. Do you know what happens if you throw a human body under a bus while it's moving? I don't even want to go to the movies and see a horror story that shows me that. I mean, your body would be mangled. Why? That's a horrible example of tattling on somebody. You know, you told them that I told them a lie. You threw me under the bus. Oh, that's a whole different thing. If I was really pissed, I'd throw you under a bus, believe me. And you'd be a mangled body of death and a pool of horrible stuff. What an extreme example of doing somebody wrong. But now, with the internet, we can just malign people and destroy them and take them down with our words. As if each and every one of us was significant. Well, we are, but it doesn't give us the license nor the ethnic responsibility to take somebody down. to break them down psychologically, to expose them to the world as being a horrible, horrible person. That's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. That's now what we do. This big social media of bringing everybody together has done the opposite. It's spread everybody apart. Shame on you. Shame on society for going this route. Horrible, 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 horrible. All right, let's turn our attention to other stuff.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, but you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
I'm scared. Dr. Peter D'Adamo joins us. He says that you should eat according to your blood type. I don't know what my blood type is. Apparently it's on my license, but I don't know. I've never had the need to know my blood type. Anyway, there are tons of diets, as you know. There's the Mediterranean diet, the apple diet, the no carb, no shoes diet, the shut your mouth and don't eat anything diet. There's tons of them, tons of them. But apparently, according to the doctor here, your blood type should dictate what type of diet you should be having for your ultimate body efficiency. Not only to lose weight, but eating right for your blood type. Doctor?
Ron, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Very good. Getting ready for some snow, apparently.
Yeah, but I don't admit it. I'm in denial, so we can't even talk about that. We're talking about your book, which is Eat Right for Your Type. And this is an updated edition, because I do remember this. And we hear about so many different types of diets, and I guess you kind of wonder, how can one diet like fit everybody when everybody's made so differently and composed so differently and has so many different reasons for being a tad overweight or whatever the case may be? And you've kind of locked it down to more specifically for specific types of people, I understand.
In a very simplified sense, actually, yes, the blood types actually comprise four variations. Mm-hmm. And they're the letters of the alphabet, A, B, O, and AB. Mm-hmm. And really, when we're talking about blood type, we're really talking about really genetics. And so it turns out that the gene that actually controls our blood types, the thing that makes us, that may save our life if we have a transfusion, but yeah, may actually kill us if we get the wrong transfusion, is a chemical that's all through the digestive tract. It's a major controller of much of the immunology of our digestive tract in general. Mm-hmm. So to take that into an account with regard to things like foods and elements of lifestyle and diet is really just a kind of a practical application of what's generally very well-known information about these blood groups.
Okay. I mean, I think we all know that we have different blood types for different people, but how does a blood type actually affect the way that you metabolize or the way that you the way that you should be eating? What actually happens, blood type difference? What would command that?
Well, I'll use one specific example, okay, which I think kind of clearly illustrates the connection. Yeah. There's an enzyme in our digestive tract called alkaline phosphatase. Mm-hmm. Now, That's the last technical term I'll use, I promise.
Okay, good.
But this this enzyme is involved in two things.
Uh-huh.
It splits cholesterol and fat,
mm-hmm.
and it helps us actually digest calcium. The level of this enzyme varies 400% from blood group A to blood group O.
Oh.
So people, for instance, with my blood type A,
yes.
make very little of this enzyme. Uh-huh. And people with my wife's blood type O make a tremendous amount of this enzyme.
Uh-huh.
So she has capabilities of breaking down fats that I don't possess.
Uh-huh.
And she has the capacity not only to have this wonderful enzyme that breaks down fat, but actually when she increases the consumption of foods, typically things that might be considered high-protein foods, which mm-hmm. are combinations of fats and proteins,
mm-hmm.
her absorption of calcium goes up at the same time. Me, on the other hand, if I eat a lot of those standard American-type things, you know, beef and highly-fat meats and stuff, I have no capability of breaking them down. They just make a mess out of things in there.
Okay.
And so if, you know, we go back and look at the scientific studies from 1950, they've looked at heart disease and blood type, and they've found the same universal conclusion. If you're blood type A, you have roughly a 2 times greater chance of heart disease. And think about what the average person consumes. A well-rounded so-called American diet can have a reasonable amount of red meat and a reasonable amount of fat.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence suggests that if you're type A, you're going to be the one person who's going to move over to a more plant-based diet, more of a Mediterranean diet. You're going to benefit from that. Whereas if you're type O, you'd probably do better on a kind of a low-carb, paleo, high-protein diet because it plays to the strength that you have in that digestive capacity that that enzyme gives you.
All right, so the old school of thought was everybody should be kind of on a low-fat, low cholesterol, plant-based diet, you can't go wrong. But what you're saying is if you have a different blood type, that could be harmful to you to go plant-based?
Well, I think that there's a general cleanliness in good diets mm-hmm. that benefits everybody.
Right.
But we might throw the baby out with the bathwater when we talk about demonizing all forms of animal protein
mm-hmm.
or demonizing all sorts of fat.
Okay.
Now, you have to realize that there's been a real pirouette in nutritional theories and time. I've been in practice for 30 years.
Right.
When I first started, everybody was eating oat bran muffins and putting margarine on their food
right.
and low fat, low fat, low fat.
Right.
And the idea was that complex carbohydrates were just dandy. They didn't have any fat, so that's wonderful. Right. But what did we show? That these complex carbohydrates typically tended to be associated with the increase in obesity. So then at a certain point, about the beginning of about late 1990s, that started to shift to high protein. All of a sudden, everybody was doing the high protein
right.
diets.
Right.
And the reality is that you can make a simple statement, like you said at the very beginning mm-hmm. of this interview, that mm-hmm. there are some people who thrive in one direction and other people who thrive in others. I mean, if it wasn't the case, we wouldn't have so many significant populations of people essentially proselytizing for both
okay.
at the same time.
Okay.
So there has to be a modicum of truth to each.
All right. So I guess the first thing to do is know what your blood type is. Do you? I believe that a lot of people don't know what their blood type is.
If you're Japanese, you are 100% certain of your blood type. if you're an American, you're about 44% of the population knows their blood type because think about the normal medical awareness of what blood type does.
Uh-huh.
It's something that complicates a transfusion.
Yes.
So why on earth would anybody need to know this unless they were being wheeled into surgery?
Correct.
Now, a lot of times people know their blood type because they might give like blood at work or something like
uh-huh.
that. You know, so, and that's a wonderful way to find out blood type because here you will have a
right.
tremendous number of very health-conscious people going to the mm-hmm. blood banks and giving them all this wonderful, healthy blood. And in gratitude, they tell you your blood type.
Yeah. But otherwise, you probably don't know. I mean, if I need a transfusion right now, they'd have to run a blood test on me because I don't think it's on my license. I don't even know. I didn't even look at my license.
Some licenses, it does list your blood type.
Oh, it does? I'll have to take a look at it. I know I don't like the picture. That's about all I know. So the book is Eat Right for Your Type, and it is individualized for a blood type diet solution, and that's what this book does. If you've tried everything else and you're not happy, then specifically find what's good for you, and that's what this book hones in on. It's fascinating. And thank you so much for being with us. I know you have a co-author, Catherine Whitney. And
That's correct.
Yeah, and it's just really well done. And pick it up. You can't go wrong. Available everywhere, I assume. It better be. Otherwise, you'd probably be very upset.
It's in 65 languages.
Holy crap. That's a lot of blood
you,
types.
If you speak a language, you can probably read a version of one of my books.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I would write a book just well, so you know, I could say that. Yeah.
It's such a universal appeal.
It is.
You know, it doesn't fall into like any kind of a cultural divide.
No,
you know,
it doesn't.
People are interested in learning about themselves.
Yeah, I mean, what could be more specific than someone saying this is for you, the way that you're composed, specifically designed for your body? Why not? Doctor, thank you so much for your mm-hmm. time. Always a pleasure to speak to you.
Hey, same. Thanks. Okay. Thanks, you, Ron.
Before we go, give me a website where people can just get more information and double check and all that stuff.
Okay, yeah, there's some great lookup tools there for stuff, too, so it's very interactive. Mm-hmm. It's my last name, so it's www. Uh-huh. Dadamo.com.
Great. Perfect. Thank you so much again.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Nice talking with you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Interesting stuff, I must say. I must say that. It is interesting stuff. I don't know. I don't think I want to eat right from a blood type, but I guess if I did, I'd be better off. I don't know what the blood types. I think there's A, B, B positive, A positive, A negative, B not, 2B or not, 2A, or I don't know. There's type O. There's the type that is red and runs all over your shoes when you bleed. There's that one. There's a lot of different types. Mine has cholesterol in it. It's like a cocktail. It's not just blood anymore. No, I've enriched it with cholesterol. Tastier. Some people's blood has like too much sugar. That, of course, is somewhat diabetic, I guess. But it's the sweeter tasting blood. So, you know, I guess if you're lucky, you've got a little cholesterol in it, a little too much sugar. It's wonderful. You can just groove on that all day. Did I say groove? Did I say that by mistake? I think I did. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know what this show is supposed to do anymore. I just don't even understand it myself. I mean, I know I'm supposed to entertain you like some type of puppet on a stick, like some type of monkey. Oh, man, I can't even talk anymore. I think it's time to leave. I know I'm supposed to entertain you because that's what it says on my star registry certificate. I think I'm supposed to inform you, like if something's coming out of the sky and going to fall on your head, I'm supposed to inform you about that. Like, watch out. Oh, no, watch out. Wouldn't it be funny if the very star that was registered in your name fell out of the sky and hit you in the head? Oh, that would make sense. I think I'm supposed to entertain you, inform you. Make you think. I'm supposed to make you think. That's what I think I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to, you know, a horse in Central Park when they're on that, you're taking a romantic little horse and buggy and carriage ride, the horse wears these blinders on the side of its eyes because you don't want the horse to see the traffic because it would be freaked out if it knew that there was stuff coming up behind it. So it wears these blinders. And it's my conjecture that most of the population of this world goes through their lives with blinders on. You don't see what's coming up behind you. You don't care what's going on next to you. You're totally unobservant. All you see is what's directly in front of you in a very unidirectional type of life. I don't care about what's going on. I don't care to know anything. I want to go forward, and that's all. Again, it's my job, I think, to give you 360-degree vision around your head so that you're smarter, more aware, observant. And in this life's journey, you and I can appreciate everything that goes on around us. It's like living your life in a in an IMAX theater, where you take in all the senses and all the experiences that life has to offer. That doesn't mean you should go jumping out of planes or put a couple of pieces of wood under your feet and shove yourself off of a mountain in a snowstorm. I'm not saying that. But listen and learn and observe. When you walk, observe everything around you. Smell nature. Feel the warmth. Feel the cold. Pick up vibes. Feel the spirit of you as a spirit walking amongst other spirits. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. Problem is, I don't seem to do that anymore. But I try. I try. All right, that's enough of that crap. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.